Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Y'all don't sound like y'all want to, y'all happy. Tell them, baby. Tell them, baby. Rejoice and be glad. Tom, what you say I got to do? Or straight? I ain't got to do anything. Okay, I got you. Good to see everyone here. It's a privilege to be standing before you this morning. It's a privilege to be standing this morning. It's not because we've been so good, but God has been so good to us. And I'm going to back up because I don't want anybody's back to me. That's a little better. And I didn't want to be left side or right side. That's why I was trying to get in the middle. You know, I was trying to stay in the middle. I could see a little better if the paper's closer, but that's okay. You know I'm reading, so it doesn't really matter. I wrote it. You should have a guide, and it'll outline every text, every scripture text, and give you just a little idea of where we're going this morning. Scripture text was read from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. And I'm standing right here, but that doesn't mean I'm leaning to the left. How about I do this? I probably knocked the plant over. No, that's not going to work. That's okay. We're fine. Because I definitely wouldn't want to move the sacred table. Ah, there you go. You know, some people, they get mad because I put my water on. I said, ain't nothing but a table. There we go. We're back in neutral territory. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Thank you for the reading, and thank you to the brothers that have preceded me with the songs of Zion, with the heartfelt prayer, and directing our hearts as we commune together with the Lord as commanded. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, our focus verse, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The word adversary means an unfriendly enemy. Satan is described as being as such. The more we know about the one we have to fight against, the better we will defend ourselves in warfare. Now, in case you all didn't know, Chris Pond wasn't always a firefighter. He used to have a real job when he was a policeman. And when Chris was in his real job as a police officer, he was on the what you would refer to as a SWAT team. And I would come to Chris and his team with say we're going to hit a house or something. So Chris and his team, they would try to gather as much information as they could about the particular target so they would know how to defend themselves. So, you know, they didn't want to go to a gunfight just with a knife. Okay, I'll leave it at that. All they had all kinds of, you know, secret things and all that. I remember one. No, I ain't gonna tell that story. So the tactics that the devil used are basically the same now as they were in the beginning. The first description that we have of him is subtle, crafty, cunning, clever, and shrewd. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you should not eat of every tree of the garden? If we listen to the devil, we will find out where we get our topic this morning, sin and its consequences for man. See, there is a causative reaction to what you do. If you sin, you got to pay for it. Well, you got to pay for it. Because the Bible, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but the Bible says that the payment for sin or the wages for sin is what? Death. See, I can see, y'all already know that. I can sit down and go home. Okay. The dictionary describes subtle as being cunning, sly, or crafty. Satan is a liar. But not only is he a liar, he's the father of lies. But he's not just a liar, he's a cunning liar. You know how some people, they can charm the money right out of your pocket, Christina. You know, they telling you that it's not raining out here, but it is raining, and the whole time they telling you it's dry. He tells part truths. He lied when he contradicted God in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4. Yet he told part truth when he said to Eve, "Your eyes shall be opened, knowing good and evil." Their eyes were opened, but Satan had also said that they would be as God in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5. So instead of being as God, their sin separated them from God. So notice the three basic appeals that Satan made to Eve. And before we get to the three appeals, I just want to thank you all for your continued prayers. God's been good to me, better than I've been to myself. I had an appointment the other day with I don't remember. But I had never met this doctor before, and she only knew me from a chart, Christina. And when she came in the room, she said, "You're not what I expected to see for a 60-year-old man with stage 4 cancer." She said, "I did not expect to see that." And I just did like that. I said, "I ain't pointing to the lights either, you know." You know, that's nothing but the goodness of God, you know. Because I've got some friends that, in my condition, they've passed on. I got some friends in my condition. They're not doing nearly as well as I am. I have good days and bad days. I have more good than bad. I didn't tell you truthfully. I said that I'm hanging in there. I'm not hanging in there. I'm still standing. Sister Gracie White told me, said, "Don't say you're hanging in there. Say you're still standing." So that's my phrase from now on, that I'm still standing, because it could be the other way. And I tell anybody in a heartbeat, I ain't know I had cancer till the doctor told me. So if I never went to the doctor, I never would have known, and I might not be standing here right now. But God's good. So what's the three appeals? What's the three appeals that the devil made? Appeal number one, he appealed to the lust of the flesh. He said that the tree was good for food, and there was no indication that harm would come to them just by the looks of the fruit. Appeal number two, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the eye, a delight to the eyes. Satan's bargains to us always look appealing. Appeal number three, the glory of life. You shall be as God. The tree was to be desired to make one wise. These are basically the same appeals that Satan used to Christ in Matthew chapter 4 when he tried to tempt Christ in the wilderness. But Eve yielded to the temptation. Excuse me. Christ withstood, and he was able to resist because Jesus told Satan, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Excuse me. Lynette, Christine, I got that medication, dry mouth, you know. And y'all might want me to moisturize my mouth, because the longer my mouth is dry, the longer I talk. Okay, Somebody said, Lynette said, get him another bottle. But Christians are given an armor to protect themselves from Satan. We're given armor, but you have to use it. Chris used to tell me, your bulletproof vest ain't doing you no good in the trunk. I said, man, it's too hot for that. He said, lead, a hot piece of lead traveling at 1,500 miles per second, 1,500 feet per second, is much hotter than the sun is out here. I said, well, brother, I'm going to take my chances, and God protected me. But now, the funny thing is, if I know I'm going to a gunfight, I put my vest on. But it's the days that you don't know, them the ones you got to worry about. Okay, so he used to keep his on. I used to keep mine in the trunk. But we both still here. Praise God. Okay. Christians are given an armor to protect themselves from Satan, but we have to use it. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Man's original condition was a state of innocence. But later, sin comes into the world. How this has happened is found in a text that we referenced already. Genesis chapter 3, the first six verses. The Bible says, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. The Bible says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and said to the woman, has God indeed said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you should not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not, he added a word, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So see, first, that was the inducement to evil. The devil, through the serpent, reminded Eve of what God had said, but he cast doubt on the reality of what God has said. Has God indeed said you should not eat of every tree of the garden? In other words, he said, surely God hasn't told you that you cannot eat of all of the fruit. Eve told him that God had forbidden them to eat of the fruit of one tree, and if they did, that they would surely die. Satan then made his next move by denying the fatal consequences of disobedience and by suggesting the advantages of it. In verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. You see how one word sometimes can change the whole thing around? I used to tell Ray and I, do not eat my sandwich. No, a slug. Now, if I say a slug, some of y'all don't know what that is. But that's bread pudding. It's like a snack cake. I tell Raynard, I say, do not eat my slug. And when I come back, my slug got a plug in it. But I said, do not eat my slug. Raynard said, I thought you said, do eat my slug. So see, he left out that one word. So what Satan did, he included the word, you will not surely die. But as we can see, that wasn't the case. These are the two lies that lures people into sin. The first one is it will not do any harm. Hey, it ain't gonna hurt you. Everybody's doing it. You know, that's the end thing. Everybody's doing it. It's not gonna hurt you. The second thing, you're cheating yourself. You're cheating yourself by not doing it. You know, look at you deprived. Why are you depriving yourself of what everybody else is having a good time doing? Just as soon as Satan removed Eve's faith in God's word, she took of the fruit and ate of it. And we're suffering the consequences of that right now today. Amen. Jesus showed us how to overcome all temptation by saying to Satan, "It is written." Now, where you get your "it is written" from? You get it from God's word. But you know what? Judy, I'm good, but it's not going to jump in my head just by holding the Bible on there. It's not going to jump in my head. And you got to be careful of this one because it got Facebook and everything on it, you know. It ain't going to jump in your head. You got to read it. You got to read it for yourself. And see, that's why I gave you that sheet of paper, so you can read it for yourself. Okay, you can go home and give this lesson to somebody else. Okay, Jesus showed us how to overcome all temptation by saying to Satan, "It is written." The devil may tempt us, but you know what? He can't force us to do anything. You may feel a strong desire to do it. And that lie that Flip Wilson told, talking about the devil made me do it, ain't no devil made you do it, Charlotte. You did it yourself. You did it yourself. Ray and I ate the cake by himself. You know, you did it yourself. Although Satan is telling people today that if they disobey God, they shall not die, but God says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But he also said the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. Death is a consequence of sin. Paul said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Okay? Sin always brings death. Always. The Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 15, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, it brings forth death. This was true in the case of Adam in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, where God said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for on the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Amen. Death means a separation. It was one of the consequences of his sin. Adam was put out of the Garden of Eden. Therefore, he was separated from the tree of life. Since all have sinned and come short of God's glory, Romans 3:23, we who are Adam's children physically, we must die. On the physical side, we must die. However, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, the Bible says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Amen? When Adam sinned, he brought about death in another sense, in that he was separated from the communion and the association with God. The children of Israel also separated themselves from God through sin. Isaiah said in Isaiah 59 and 2, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he would not hear. Sin causes shame. You know how you do something wrong? You should feel bad if you don't. You should. As long as you got a conscience, you should feel bad. The Bible says in Genesis 3 and verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Adam was created by God and placed in the Garden of Eden without sin or even the knowledge of sin. There was no indication of any moral defects in his character, because he was made in the image of God. The only deficiency with Adam was that it was not good for him to be alone. That's where the problem came in. God, seeing this defect, he remedied it by creating Eve as his helpmeet. Sin causes moral deterioration. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 33 and 34, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. God created man as a free moral agent with the ability to choose between good and evil. That's what I was saying. God not going to make you do anything. He give you the ability to to make a decision. Excuse me. mute that out of the tape. We free will. You can do whatever you want to do. You know what? Didn't nobody make you come here this morning? Nobody made you come. Rose, Jewel, we didn't make y'all come, but we could make your life miserable if you didn't. But we here because we want to be here. We came this morning to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth, and to leave here better than we came. We enter to worship and we leave to serve. And we should leave here today better than we were. Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, we free will individuals, we make our own decisions. Joshua said, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. He said, Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. And that's what needs to be our mantra. That's what we need to say. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, instinct forces geese, ducks, and fish to migrate. Animals follow certain patterns instinctively according to their species. Man alone has a choice to which way he will travel, where he will live, how he builds, and how he conducts himself. Eve knew that it was contrary to God's will to eat of the tree, but she chose to eat and gave also to Adam. However, mankind must reap as he sows. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 through 9, the Bible says, let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. God has always told man what is required of him. He takes the guesswork out of it. He makes it plain so that we can understand his will. You remember Ray and our sister Dunwich just said, make it plain. God has made it plain for us. He made his instructions simple for Adam and Eve. He makes them simple for us today. We follow God's instructions in our worship service to him because we want to go to heaven. In the Church of Christ, we practice five acts in his worship. We take communion every Sunday, every first Lord's Day. The Bible says in Acts 20 and 7, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul read it to the apostles on tomorrow. He spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. We have singing in our worship, as you've experienced this morning, without musical instruments. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, the Bible says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You have an opportunity this evening, 6 o'clock, to come out and you can sing. If you want to sing, you can come. If you want to sing, you can come too. We give an offering, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, on the first day of the week. Let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Dale told me, he said, we was worried, man. I had to go take my contribution. He said, you could have gave it here. I said, no. No, he didn't say that. But that's what I did. I wanted to make sure that the brothers, they said, you can go there and preach all you want to, but you make sure you leave your offering. No, they didn't say that. In 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16, 2, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, there be no collections when I come. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, so that each of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We have preaching and teaching of God's words, Acts chapter 2, 42. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. In 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. We pray in our worship. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, appeal by Paul to the church of Thessalonica. Brethren, pray for us. There are five steps that one must obey to become a member of the Lord's church. First off, hear the gospel. Acts chapter 18, verses 5 to 8. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from now on. I will go to the Gentiles. In verse 7, and he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. You got to believe the gospel. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One must repent of his past sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter, the same Peter that denied Christ, he said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not baptized in the name of Muhammad, not baptized in the name of Judah, not baptized in the name of Buddha, but baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You got to repent. And then you must confess. Romans 10:10. For the whole, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Acts chapter 8, 36 to 37. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all of your heart, you may. Be baptized. Acts chapter 8, 38, picking up verse 38. The Bible says, so he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, I left the top off of the water. He didn't sprinkle him. He baptized him. You know, I'm so used to being able to set the bottle and it be about this high. He baptized him. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon, or God and money, or God and things. You cannot be a member of a denominational church and a member of Christ's church too. They are incompatible. They are like oil and water. They won't mix. Some try to minimize this by saying that denominations doesn't mean anything. But a denomination is a step down. It's a step down. And we want to step up. Amen? Amen. We want to step up. We don't want to. Is Christ divided? No. Amen, baby. She said, get down, Grandpa. Okay. If you're here this morning, and we can pray with you, we can pray for you. If you feel yourself subject to the Savior's invitation, if you know right now today that you haven't been baptized for the right reason, you may have been buried in the water grave with baptism, but why did you get baptized? Did you get baptized just because your cousin got baptized, because your sister got baptized, or because it was baptism Sunday? Were you buried with Christ in the water grave with baptism for remission of your sins? If you're here today and we can be of any service to you, please make it known as we stand and sing.